Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
With our arms.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Oh, my God, let the Spirit fall on me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I can't make it without you. Oh,
Amen.
My God, we move and we have breathe. And everything we do is through him. Oh, God, we thank you for
Amen.
Just another day that God has spared our lives. Another time that we can give him praise, we can give him honor, we give him glory. Because truly he deserved the praise. He deserved all the honor. Because truly there's none like him. We can search the whole world over and can't find nobody like Jesus. Nobody like him. Hallelujah. Somebody says, search the heavens high and the earth below. Nobody like the Lord. Hallelujah. We are so glad that you've tuned in tonight. We pray that you had a great day. And if you didn't, today is going to be changing, and it's going to be a shift after you hear this broadcast tonight. While you listen to the broadcast tonight, I declare a shift in you in the name of Jesus. I declare that everything that's concerning you, that you put it in the hands of God, and he will. Hallelujah. Not that he may, but he will work it all out. He already have it all worked out. While we're trying to figure it out, oh, my God, he already worked it out. I pray that God will bless you tonight, that the word that you would hear, oh, my God, would inspire you, encourage you to go on just a little further, amen, because the end is not yet. Greater is in front of this. Oh, there's greater after this. Hallelujah. This, too, shall pass. No matter what you're dealing with tonight, it's just to get you closer to the King. Hallelujah. We are so glad you've tuned in tonight. We are, again, Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, under the awesome leadership of Archbishop Ruth Smith. We thank God for her. Amen. I believe she's back already from Washington. Amen. Thank God for Bishop Kevin Jones. Amen. Our lead pastor. He is in Africa right now. Amen. And I'm telling you, we thank God for Pastor Sakri Osler. We thank God for everything that he's doing and light of the world. We thank God for his mercy and his grace, amen, towards us, that he is elevating us and getting us closer to him, amen, and putting us out of a church mentality into a kingdom mentality. Amen. We're learning kingdom concepts, amen, that we can live in this world and make sure that his kingdom come on earth and his will be done. Amen. We thank and praise God for you, and especially you. We had our final session today with our youth financial literacy workshop. We thank God for that. Amen. We've educated our young people, amen, how to handle money, how to respect money, how to honor money, how not to love it, but to respect it, just like time. Time and money are valuable resources that we need to manage well. So we thank and praise God for Dave Thomas, who did that program for us for 6 weeks. Amen. We thank and praise God for everything, amen, that accomplished. We pray that these young people would go forth, amen, and some of them already educating their parents, amen. We had an aunt that came and told us that the parents are being educated by the children when they come home.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank and praise God for that, amen. We pray that God would continue to use us to empower young people, amen, that they would be a solid part of our society, amen?
Amen?
So we thank and praise God tonight, and we thank God for all of you out there in radio land. We thank you for tuning in. We are so thankful, amen, because we can't do this without you. Tonight we have a man of God, amen, who is awesome, who is powerful, amen, and his name is Minister Randy Ford, and he's going to be delivering the word tonight. So we're going to ask him to press 1 on the phone so we can bring him live and so we can get right into the word. Amen. We appreciate him. Amen. A truly man of God and a great, awesome man. And so we're going to bring him live. And
how do you feel?
He can just introduce himself and his wife and tell us all about him. And then we can do what the Lord has assigned him to do tonight.
Yes, sir. Pastor Butterfield, can you hear me at this time?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. Okay. Praise God. First of all, I just have to compliment you because you are the music man. Every time you open up this broadcast, you always play some instrumental and inspirational music that really lifts the broadcast to another level. And we thank God for you and, of course, your lovely wife, Pastor Ann Butterfield. Is she well? Is she doing well?
Yes,
I'm
better.
Yes, not feeling too great, but
yes, she's doing better.
I'm here.
Okay, well, we pray God to God that everything works out fine and your health is restored. I just wanted to thank you again, Pastor Butterfield and Pastor Ann, for this opportunity to be on this broadcast. I know many people are listening. I do have family members, and my wife is listening as well as my daughter. So I pray that.
All right.
Yes, I pray that tonight, as you said, that the word will manifest itself and there will be a shift. Now, before I pray, public service announcement for everybody to remember, please turn your clocks back, fall back, so that we'll be on time for church service tomorrow.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So at this time, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for this broadcast ministry, which gives us another opportunity to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your presence with us tonight. Father God, we pray that every heart that is listening tonight be open to receive your word with joy and understanding. Let their lives be changed as they are drawn closer to you. Father, we bless the leadership of this house of Light of the World, Bishop Ruth, Bishop Kevin, and Pastor Zakri. Father, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Right. My topic for tonight comes from the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. And my topic for tonight is the unconditional gift of God. Let me repeat that again. The unconditional gifts of God. And that scripture, reads as follows, verses 12 through 16. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we know and dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, dwelleth in him, and he in God. The final verse, 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. As I said before, my subject for tonight is the unconditional gifts of God. Notice, beloved, I did make a distinction by using the word unconditional because in the natural world, there are times when we receive gifts or presents, and we are very happy, humble, grateful in receiving such gifts.
Uh-huh.
Up until the point when we realize that this particular from this particular person has some strings attached, some agreement, some understanding that there's an expectation if I accept this gift, I am going to have to give you something back in return.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if I do this for you, you will have to do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I made that distinction, because God does not operate that way. What he gives us, the gifts he gives us, there are no strings attached. We might be obligated to do things in service to him because the Lord is our King, and we are his kingdom subjects. We are his kingdom citizens, and we are to serve our King. Remember, though, God always allows us to express our own free will. We can accept what God is offering, or we can reject what God is offering. The choice is ours to decide. But the Apostle John, in the first epistle, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, talks about those special gifts that God gives us unconditionally. In other words, what he gives us is totally for our benefit. And the Apostle John is an interesting person because he is referred to as the Apostle of Love. He even referred to himself in his very own Gospel of John as the one who Jesus loved. And that word love plays a very important part in those verses 12 through 16. There is a thread of love from God to us that runs all through those verses. It leads me to understand and to comprehend that love to God is a very serious responsibility.
Amen.
The love of God, or the concept of love, is so important that the word love is mentioned in the Bible over 300 times. The Apostle John uses the word love 57 times in his own Gospel of John.
Mm-hmm.
So, beloved, as we can see, this love subject must be important. Moving right along. 1 John 4, verse 12, reads as follows. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God will dwell in us, and his love is perfected in us. In this verse, John reminds us of an important biblical truth, that no person has ever seen God in his full divine essence or likeness. Even Moses only saw the back of God, as described in Exodus 33:18 through 23. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, 1 chapter 17 verse, where he described God as, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible." Jesus declared of God the Father in John 4 and 24 that God is spirit, meaning that God the Father has no tangible body which may be seen. However, God's love allows us, allows humanity to see him through the actions of his people. When we have a thorough and complete experience of walking in God's love, we demonstrate him to ourselves and to others. God abides in those who seek to love him. We do not need to physically see him. He is already abides in us.
Amen.
Beloved, this is the greatest evidence of God's presence and work among us. Love. Since no one has ever seen God at any time, this provides evidence for the presence of God. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is power. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is popularity. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is passionate feelings. But the greatest evidence of God's presence and work is love.
Amen.
In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it simply states that God is love. Where
Amen.
God is present and working, there will be love. For example, when Jesus' power was challenged, he was always full of love.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus faced hostile crowds, he was always full of love. And when Jesus was crucified, as described in a particular chapter and verse, Luke 23:34, when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," Jesus was full of love. Love was the constant, greatest evidence of the presence and work of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John completes the verse with these words, "And his love has been perfected in us." The Greek translation for the word perfected is mature or complete. So if we love one another, then the love of God is mature and complete in us.
Amen.
In other words, if we really walk in God's love towards us, it will be evident in our love for one another. God's love. The unconditional gift from God.
Amen.
In verse 13, the Apostle John gives us further evidence of someone who has true fellowship with Christ. It reads as follows, "By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." The Holy Spirit is the sign of our true faith. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" 2 Timothy 1:14 makes reference to the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. When John writes, "He has given us of his Spirit," he is emphasizing that the Spirit of God is in us. In other words, the presence of his Spirit is how he abides in us. Also, it is a testimony of the Holy Spirit within us that makes it possible for us to know that we abide in him. As Paul says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness
Amen.
With our spirit that we are children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, beloved, that when the Holy Spirit lives within us, it is there to help us live for Christ at the point of salvation and beyond. The Holy Spirit. The unconditional gift from God. Verse 14 transitions from the Holy Spirit to God the Son. Verse 14 reads as follows, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world."
Mm-hmm.
The word "we" testimony of those who saw Jesus originally,
mm-hmm.
who were eyewitnesses to his presence. They knew the Father was sent to be the Savior to this world. John declares the truth about who God is and how he saves us by saying that the Father has sent the Son and that he, meaning Jesus, was sent to be the Savior of the world. John is saying that the presence and power of Christ in the life of a believer is the most important sign of our relationship with him. Those who can and see and feel the influence of godly love in their lives can be confident that they are part of the family of God.
Amen.
This allows us to serve God with confidence, knowing that his word lives in us and that his word is for all people.
Amen.
Sent, Savior of the world. The unconditional gift from God. In verse 15, John the Apostle teaches that the person who confesses that Jesus is God's Son has God living in him. And that person lives in God. Verse 15 reads as follows: Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Oh, beloved, knowing and understanding, this proves to us that Jesus is the foundation for abiding in God.
Amen.
It is not enough to know the facts about who Jesus is. We must confess the truth. The idea behind the word confess is to be in total agreement with.
Mm-hmm.
We must agree with God about who Jesus is and find out what God says about Jesus through the word of God.
Amen.
You see, it's possible to know something without even being in agreement with it. But God demands our true agreement. Confessed Jesus who abides in me, the unconditional gift of God.
Amen.
In verse 16, the Apostle John includes both himself and us as believers in the beginning of this verse. Verse 16 reads as follows: And we have known and believed the love that God hath for us. Excuse me. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. John's words clearly state that both knowing and believing are important. Both to know and to believe are essential in the life of a Christian believer.
Mm-hmm.
We must believe in who Christ really is for salvation. We must know Christ through obedience and fellowship to be accepted by the actions and to be blessed by him. John writes that God is love, and whosoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The person who continues to live in love is also continuing in God. In other words, love for God and others is the way to remain growing in the Lord. Those who do so have God abiding or living in them, Great godly love is a powerful sign that a person is a genuine believer in Christ.
Amen.
The Christian who has this kind of relationship with God will be virtually immersed in God's love. It becomes his environment, his special place of abiding. Starting with God's love and now ending in God's love, here too is the unconditional gift from God.
Amen.
As you can understand from John, the love he is describing is of critical importance. John emphasized this point by starting off in verse 12 talking about love and ending in verse 16 speaking about love again. Please understand that John is not writing about an empathy bond of love. He's not describing a friendship bond of love, nor is he explaining to us about a romantic bond of love. John is bringing us to a new level, a new realm of love known as agape love. The word agape comes from the original Greek language and translation. It is a special type of love that is of and from God. It is an unconditional bond of love between us and God. How else could John be so inspired to write the words, "But anyone who does not love God, for God is love." 1 John 4 and 8. John is saying that the very essence of this special type of love, God is in it and God is of it. But now, beloved, now that we have received all of these unconditional gifts from God, the question now becomes, how do we prove the love of Jesus in our lives? Beloved, we prove the love of Jesus by loving other believers.
Amen.
Even though we may not always agree on everything, even though we may not have the same ideas, even though we may be miles away on some things, all things, everything, or issues, it does not matter. But this does not negate the fact that we should love one another. We also prove the love of Jesus by loving unbelievers. Now, this is where it gets difficult for some of us, myself included, because we're all works in progress. Amen? Even though unbelievers do not live like they ought to, even though unbelievers do not act like they ought to, and even though unbelievers do not think like they ought to, remember, my brothers and sisters in Christ, there was a time when we were right there living the life of the unbeliever.
Amen.
Amen. There was a time when we did not have Jesus in our lives.
Amen.
Question: how did we live? Answer: like an unbeliever, by the way we lived, acted, and thought. Question: how were we like this? Why were we like this? Simple answer: because we were unbelievers in the way we lived, acted, and thought. So we should prove the love of Jesus by loving unbelievers. Remember, we do not have to sanction their beliefs. We do not have to agree with their politics. We do not have to like even the way that they dress. But we do have to love them.
Right.
Just like Jesus loved us before we believed in him. Just like Jesus loves them, those unbelievers, now even though they may reject him. Beloved, we need to look at the big picture and think of how many churches have been damaged or missed opportunities to save souls by the lack of love shown between members.
Mm-hmm.
Something else to think about. Big picture again. How many unbelievers have been turned off from Jesus because of what they see happening, the behavior, the actions between so-called saved Christians. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We need to use the power of these unconditional gifts that the Father has given us, his love, his Son, his Holy Spirit. We need to make a commitment to God that we are going to love the way he loves us.
Amen.
We need to make a commitment to ourselves that we will always be conscious of our very own actions.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make a commitment to ourselves that starting tonight, we will put Jesus' reputation first before our very own. Amen.
Amen.
We need to make a commitment to ourselves that we will involve ourselves in the lives who do not yet know Jesus.
Amen.
Where we work, where we live, and even in our own homes, in our houses, if need be. We also need to make a commitment tonight that we will be a living testimony of Jesus to everyone, all believers, all non-believers alike. Let God see that we are manifesting his Son and be a true example to the world who look upon us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a great moment in our Christian lives when we realize that because we are a child of God, we take on God the Father's identity when we receive his unconditional gifts.
Amen.
We know what the benefits are. We know them. But over time, we forget or take them for granted. But tonight, I'm going to give you a few reminders that when we receive God's gifts, there are so many benefits, and I'm just going to name a few. How many of you remember that we are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. How many of you remember that we are a new creature in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. You know where they are in the Bible. We are chosen by God. Colossians 3 and 12. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. We are God's workmanship. Ephesians 2 and 10. We are a child of God, John 1 and 12. We are believers, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. We are saved by grace, Ephesians 2 and 8. I can go on, and I will. Amen. We are partakers of God's divine nature, 2 Peter 1 and 4. I know these verses are speaking to somebody. I don't know who, but somebody. We are born of the Spirit. God.
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. John 3,
yes,
5 and 6. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. We are free from condemnation. Romans 8:1.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors. I've heard Pastor Ann repeat this one time and time again. We are the head and not the tail. Deuteronomy 28:13. We are forgiven. Ephesians 1:17. We are delivered. Colossians 1:13. We are a friend of Christ. John 15:15. We are a member of God's body. 1 Corinthians 12:27. We are complete in Christ. Colossians 2:9. We are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are joint heirs. I've heard Pastor Butterfield say that too. We are joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. We are citizens of heaven. Ephesians 2:19. But now, beloved, as I come to a close, let me say this. John's first epistle was about faith in God. It helps us to reflect honestly on our own faith.
Amen.
It helps us to understand the question, are we true believers? John said, you could tell by looking at others if they were Christian just by observing their actions. If we love one another, that was evidence of God's presence in our lives. Those who claim to love God but hate others, they're not telling the truth.
All right.
The primary way Christians are to be recognized is by and through love.
Yes.
This is not merely what we feel, but what we do for others. True godly love is the most powerful evidence of being born again as a child of God. The love comes from God, who loved us before we loved him. When we love in obedience to God, according to love, we can be confident in our relationship with God. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you don't remember anything else I said tonight, I would like you to remember one word and two verses. The one word is love.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in your heart. Let it be a part of your spirit. And watch the amazing benefits and blessings that I mentioned to you that are too countless to count. So many to count. Let it be a part of your life. That one word is love. And the two verses from the New King James Version, one of the first verses I guess we all learned when we became saved, John 3:16. For
Amen.
God so loved the world
that
he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to always remember this, whether we are talking to ourselves or whether we are talking to others. Why? Because that, beloved, that is where it all starts, confessing and believing in the Son of God. And our second verse comes from our text tonight, the last of those verses, verse 16, 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, I believe I have a moment now to just add on to that by saying, let me just read that same verse, 1 John 4 and 16, in the New Living Translation, just so I can make it very plain, and hopefully it will stay with you. It reads as follows. We know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. In other words, beloved, be open in your heart to receive the unconditional gifts from God. Believe and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And love one another so you can abide in God, and God will live, will dwell it, will abide in you. I give all praise, honor, and glory to God the Father for this message tonight, for it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome word. Awesome word, man. Because that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is love. We cannot love in our flesh. Our flesh will fail every time because we love people who love us. We love people who are nice to us, but the Bible says you got to love your enemy and those who despitefully use you. And love is what God is, and you only can love if you have the Spirit of God in you. And so this is an awesome word tonight. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. Those of you who want to comment on this word tonight, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone. If you need prayer requests or whatever is going on in your life, we could touch and agree right now, because the Word of God said, wherever two or three touch and agree, he is in the midst and he will perform his word. Amen. So press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you live. Amen. And as you're pressing 1 on your phone, we thank God. I began to think about the scripture, Matthew 25 and 34, where Jesus began to tell them about how the kingdom is going to divide the sheep from the goat, and he, what he's going to be looking for is who has been doing something. Love is not a noun. It's not just a word as a noun, but it is a verb, meaning that love is what love does. Love is not just saying I love you and don't know nothing about you, because God first, the scripture that you said was John 3:16, is God so loved the world. But it didn't stop there. He gave his only begotten son. So when you love, you got to do something about it. So love is always demonstrated. Love is always manifested. And so those, he said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was hungry, you didn't give me meat. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. When I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. All these things he was saying about is a demonstration of love. So how do we demonstrate love today? How do we communicate love today? Preacher man, if somebody would come to you today and say, okay, what do I need to do? Because there's a whole lot of people who are trying to scam you, who are trying to scam you. How do I demonstrate love today? What would you tell
them? Thank you, Pastor Butterfield. I know that people who are listening, or even who ask that question of themselves, think it's some kind of very complicated answer. And it really, really isn't. Step one is you have to first be right with God. Your spirit has to be right and in tune with God. And that's why I read that verse, John 3:16, because it gives you very plain and emphatic instructions on where you are to begin.
Right.
Simply, are reminded that God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave. He sacrificed his only son for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to believe that. We need to show respect and reverence and love to God. By the sacrifice he made for us, we in turn are making that sacrifice back to him with that
Amen.
Belief.
Amen.
And once you start from there, as I read in that second verse, and I'll read it in the New Living Translation, by believing in God's Son, we know how much God loves us. And we put our trust, we have to trust, beloved, in God's love. Because God is love, and all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. So, in other words, beloved, and my brothers and sisters in Christ, we have nothing to prove when we rest in the assurance that we believe in God's Son and that we are resting in God's love. Because aside from all the benefits, how many times have you heard people pray and within their prayer they interject, what must I do? What must I do? What must I do to be saved? Those words are what people are saying or thinking about God's children. When you act in accordance to God's love, you are a reflection of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no way on earth, if their hearts are open, that they cannot be drawn to it. And you just need to plant a seed. You don't have to convince anybody of your love for them because your love for them will shine through what God
Amen.
Means to you. So in
Amen.
Answer to that question, you want to love somebody or show love, you need to love God first
Amen.
And be open to that surrender. Because God will order your steps, he will order your thoughts, he will order your words, he will order your actions.
Amen.
Put
Amen.
God in the driver's seat and let him be in control of your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We see somebody in queue. Amen. Thank you so much. We got somebody in queue. Your area code is 404 and your last four digit is 3588. You're not live on the air, call.
Hello, can you all hear me?
Ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm in a car drive. I just want to say thank you so much for the word. I went home to see my parents, and it's an hour and a half drive. Got ready to go, and my back rear door would not close. So, to really lean on his word and lean on the love that I have for the Lord and what Mr. Porter just said, let him drive the car. I had to let him drive this car. I'm probably 3 minutes from the house. And I was ready to freak out all anxiety and everything was about to take place. But I thank God and I thank you all for this sight, this line. Coming to Life Broadcast and for this word, because I know that's the only way in the grace of God that I was able to make it home. Because I would scream and cry, but some say I have to tune in to this word and it's going to guide me home. So I thank you all. I'm about to turn to God and I give God the glory and praise for being able to tune in and be able to make it home and not have a fit because I'm scared this door's going to pop open. But it didn't budge, and it's bad, the wind blowing in. But by the grace of God, I'm about 2 minutes away from the house. And I thank you all for the opportunity to tune in and Spirit of God, bring me home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
A way maker. A miracle.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. But Lord, I need to put my love and my faith and my trust in you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Glory to
God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you,
God. That's the love of God right there. Mm-hmm. Amen. Demonstrated. Mm-hmm. Amen. We see we got another caller in queue. Your area code is 770, and your last four digits is 6877. You're now live on the air, caller. Hallelujah. Hello?
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 Hello, how are you?
Yes, how you doing? You're now live on the air.
I'm doing good. This is Wanda Philadelphia. Just wanted to call in and let Minister Ford know that I really, really appreciated his word tonight on love. Those four little letters really, really mean a lot, and I really appreciate him going through each verse, breaking it down for us, and also bringing to us different versions of different scriptures from the Bible and talking about love. You know, I don't know what made me think about the President of the United States when he started talking about love and saying how we should love everybody in spite of and different things like that. But his name just came up in my mind because so many times in conversations now, he's the topic of conversation and everybody isn't feeling love for him right now. But I know we have to love him as well. So I thank him so much for being so passionate. I'm so just used to seeing Minister Ford greet us in the morning and opening the door. So just to hear him bring such a passionate word about love really meant a lot. And my last request is one of prayer tonight. I just really need the body at large to keep my family lifted up in prayer. My brother has been in intensive care in the hospital since Monday, and it's really, really been a lot of for my sister and I, but just to keep my brother in prayer. He had a head injury, and he's been bleeding on the brain since Monday, and I left from down there yesterday and today, and he's just not recognizing me like he usually recognizes his big sister, so if you all would continue to pray for my brother, his name is Dexter Scott, and he's in Atlanta Medical Center, I would really appreciate it.
Amen. We'll do that tonight. Right now.
We will.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless
let's
you.
Let's go, Grace. Minister Ford, you want to pray or you want us to pray?
Please allow me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you could join in after I fade off. But I'm moved to just say this. In the mighty name of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
dear Heavenly Father, you have heard the petition of your sister.
Yes.
We know you are a way maker. We know that you are a burden bearer.
Mm-hmm.
You see the situation going on with Dexter Scott. We call him by name.
Yes,
he is
Lord.
In need of a miracle. He is in need of healing. We just need to rest on your power and your faith. And
yes,
we
Lord.
Pray in the mighty name of Jesus that whatever needs to be done through those doctors, the medication, whatever needs to be done in terms of surgery or procedure, you work through them, mighty Father. And do what needs to be done in your son's name, Jesus. We call it done tonight, and it is so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you right now. We touch and agree in the name of Jesus. God, we know that you hear and you answer prayer. We ask you right now to go to Dexter's bedside right now, touch him from the crown of his head to the very sole of his feet. God, I command that every tissue in his brain, every cell, oh God, every system, every God, oh my God, that would function in perfection the way you designed it to. I call alignment right now. I call regulation right now. In the name of Jesus, God, heal, deliver. In the name of Jesus, with your with Jesus' stripes, we are healed and we adjudicate. We, oh God, we appropriate healing in Dexter right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now that you give the family peace, God. Oh God, that blessed assurance in the name of Jesus that only you can give, God, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh God, that you have your hand on it. Oh my God, and you are on the case. You're working on it, God. In the name of Jesus, give them peace that they would rest tonight. Oh, God, be assured that their prayers have been answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. We know God is a healer. Ooh. He can do anything. He can raise the dead. Oh, my God, he can do anything. Praise God for this word tonight on love.
Yes.
And the testimony that God brought that sister all the way home.
Oh.
Hallelujah. God will work it out.
Oh.
That same God. Hallelujah. Oh. We send his word to Dexter right now in the name of Jesus. And we believe. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We believe his word in the name of Jesus. God be praised. Thank you so much,
Minister Ford, for an awesome word.
Amen.
Thank you all for listening.
Amen. If you want to hear this broadcast at a later date, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/Butterfields-Ministries, and you can hear it. You can also go to our website, ButterfieldsMinistriesWorldwide.com. Go and check us out. We have some videos on there, some preaching on there, some teaching on there, some songs on there. Go and check us out. We thank God for Minister Ford. Amen. And next week, amen, he's going to have his sidekick, amen, is going to be preaching the word on next Saturday. Amen. Minister Michelle Ford. So tune in. Amen. Next Saturday, tell your neighbors, tell your friends, on next Saturday at 8 p.m. to dial
917-388-4161
to the Turn on the Light broadcast
with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Have a great night.